Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Luke 11, 1 to 8. The Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 11, the verses 1 to 8. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." My theme for reflection is knocking at midnight. Knocking at midnight. There is something almost comical about how people behave when they urgently need help at inconvenient hours. A late night phone call can instantly move from "sorry to bother you" to "please answer, this is serious." Desperation has a way of stripping away pride. When we truly need something, we stop pretending to be self-sufficient. In Luke 11, 1 to 8, the disciples watch Jesus pray and realize something unsettling and beautiful. Prayer for Jesus is not a ritual performance, but the very breath of his relationship with the Father. So they ask, "Lord, teach us to pray." That request alone is significant. They had seen miracles, crowds, and power, yet what they longed to learn was prayer. Jesus responds first with what we now call the Lord's Prayer, a model grounded in relationship before requests. Prayer begins not with techniques or formulas, but with Father. In the ancient world, this was revolutionary intimacy. God was not merely distant, terrifying, or abstract. He was near, attentive, and relational. The prayer then moves from God's name and kingdom to daily bread, forgiveness, and spiritual protection. In other words, prayer holds together heaven and earth, worship, and ordinary life. Jesus then tells the striking parable of the friend knocking at midnight. To modern ears, the request may sound inconvenient but harmless. Yet within the world Jesus describes, hospitality was not a courtesy, but a sacred social obligation. To fail to provide bread for a guest was to bring dishonor, not only upon oneself, but upon the entire household. The man at the door is therefore desperate, not merely embarrassed. What is equally fascinating is the neighbor's response. He does not rise out of tenderness or generosity. He answers because the knocking persists, because the relentless appeal becomes impossible to ignore. Jesus intentionally paints the neighbor as weary, irritated, and unwilling. And this is precisely where the force of the parable lies. Jesus Christ is not suggesting that God resembles the reluctant neighbor. The argument moves in the opposite direction. If even a selfish and exhausted human being can eventually be moved to act, how much more will the Father respond to those who cry out to him. The contrast signifies the character of God rather than diminishing it. Human reluctance gives way under persistence, but divine love does not begin from reluctance at all. God is already inclined toward his children. This is the how much more logic that appears so often in Jesus' teaching. If flawed human beings know how to respond, how much more will the perfect Father listen, give, and care? The parable therefore becomes less a lesson about overcoming God's resistance and more a revelation of God's generosity. Persistent prayer is not about wearing down an unwilling God, but about approaching with confidence the Father who is always ready to hear. As Kierkegaard suggested, prayer does not change God, but it changes the one who prays. Persistent prayer is not about wearing God down. It is about learning to trust God deeply enough to keep knocking, even when answers seem delayed. This passage is beautifully balanced by Philippians 4:6-7. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Scripture interprets Scripture here by reminding us that prayer is less about controlling outcomes and more about entrusting ourselves to God's peace and care. For Christian people today, this reflection feels deeply practical. We live in a hurried culture where prayer can become either an afterthought or a crisis management tool. Many people pray only when life collapses. A medical diagnosis, financial stress, family conflict, or emotional exhaustion. Yet Jesus invites us into something richer, a life of continual conversation with God. Prayer is not merely emergency communication, it is communion. The passage also challenges our assumptions about an unanswered prayer. Sometimes we approach God as consumers demanding quick service. But prayer forms patience, humility, and trust. It teaches us that God is not a vending machine dispensing wishes, but a Father reshaping hearts. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, when I pray, am I seeking merely answers or a deeper relationship with God? Number two, what burdens have I stopped bringing to God because discouragement has silenced my persistence? And now our practical exercise for the day. Set aside 5 uninterrupted minutes to pray honestly, not with polished language, but with the openness of a child speaking to a loving parent. Father of mercy and grace, teach us to pray with honesty, persistence, and trust. When we grow weary or distracted, draw us back into your presence. Help us to seek not only your gifts, but your heart. Give us courage to keep knocking, faith to keep asking, and peace to trust your wisdom, even in silence. And may our lives become rooted in the confidence that we are loved children, welcomed into your presence. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.